This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, it's Casual Friday, and that means I am in the studio with the lovely and talented and beautiful... Alisa. What's your name, little girl?
Alisa.
Alisa. Yes, that's right. And it's we've got a lot of good things to talk about today, don't we?
We sure do.
And we're really excited this weekend because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and the New York Giants are in it again.
Yay.
I like that. I like that idea.
Are you a football fan?
You know, I'm from New York. I can get behind a New York team, of course. I mean, I'm not a big sports buff, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know more about sports than I do, which is, you know, often the something that we laugh about. But when I heard the New York Giants win it, I thought, well, I'd like to watch this because I like New York, you know.
Are you going to a party?
I don't know. Are you taking me to a party?
Well, I read in an article today that 9 out of 10 people stay home and watch the Super Bowl. I think that's interesting. I think the reason why is because they like to look at the commercials.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
I don't know. I like to watch the commercials.
Yeah, the commercials are a big attraction. I think a lot of people who don't have any interest in football at all will watch the Super Bowl for two things, because of the amazing effort that these companies put into the commercials, and secondly, because of the halftime show, which is going to be Madonna this year.
I can't believe it's Madonna. I saw her on television this morning, and she said she was nervous about this because she only has 8 minutes to get – her team only has 8 minutes to get the stage ready.
Yeah. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
But it's going to be great. And she looks great, doesn't she?
She looks awesome.
I wonder what her secret is. I wonder if she's using growth hormone.
She might be.
Yeah, she may be.
She looks great. Okay, so I have some facts I want to share with everybody.
Okay.
Did you know that 11.2 million pounds of potato chips are consumed on Super Bowl Sunday?
That's astonishing.
Isn't it crazy? 9 million pieces of pizza will be eaten.
I mean, is it really about football? Or is it really a license to just pig out?
Probably a little bit of everything.
Right? I mean, because we're a nation. The United States is a nation of people who love to enjoy ourselves. And I'm putting air quotes up, because according to Paula Deen, enjoying yourself is eating the crappiest food you can in large quantities.
8 million pounds of guacamole.
That's not so bad.
Okay. In 2009, 55,200 hot dogs were served at the Tampa Bay Stadium.
Wow.
3.8 million pounds of popcorn. I mean, it's just incredible.
Did you hear about this this company in New York that is making a chicken wing cupcake?
I saw that. The cupcake is made out of cornbread.
Right, and then the icing is actually a combination of blue cheese and buttercream. So instead of being sweet, like buttercream icing, people probably think, oh, that's disgusting. No, if you just take the buttercream by itself and don't sweeten it, it's just butter and cream.
Mm-hmm.
But they take it and they add blue cheese to it, and then stick a drumstick chicken wing on top, and then drizzle hot sauce over it. It's unbelievably grotesque looking.
I bet Paula Deen would like that.
Yeah. She'd take it and put the Paula Deen...
She'd put some butter on it.
But, no, she'd put butter on it and then eat it between two Krispy Kreme donuts. No, that would be it.
Okay, just real quick here. 51.7 million cases of beer, 4.3 million pounds of pretzels, 2.5 million pounds of nuts, and 8.2 million pounds of tortilla chips are consumed.
Wow.
So they're expecting antacid sales to be up 20% the day after the Super Bowl.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it crazy?
Like, people don't even think to themselves, gee, maybe I shouldn't be eating this stuff since it makes me feel so disgusting the next day.
I just can't believe that. And I also read that people consume over 12, not the calories count, but in this case, people consume over 1,200 calories just snacking that day. That doesn't include their meals.
It's all
junk.
Yes, but it's potato chips. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's pretzels. It's the thing that really puts fat on real fast.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's amazing. Really. So did you want to tell your story about the guy that you were talking to that was a dental student?
Yeah, I was at the gym the other day and I saw this guy and he was really looked great. I mean, you know, and I'm one of those people that always pays a compliment. There's a lot of people in the gym that are real stingy. You know, like because let's face it, when you work hard and you make progress, you want someone to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was watching this guy work out and this guy was really, I mean, I could see the striation in his back and his shoulders. I mean, he was really lean and he was very muscular. And so when we were in the locker room, he happened to pass. I was walking one way. He was walking the other way. And I said, you know, I just wanted to comment. You look great. He goes, oh, thanks a lot. I says, you know, are you – I said, you're really very lean. I says, what are you, like 3-4% body fat? He said, yeah, 4. And I said, are you going to get ready to do a competition or something? He goes, no. He goes, I just train to stay healthy. He goes, I'm a dental student and at U of L, which, you know, is a great dental school here in the city. And I said, really? I said, do you work with amalgam? He goes, oh, yeah, but it's in a vacuum. Well, they use we use a vacuum. And you told me what he meant by that,
well,
right?
Well, they have a vacuum that can suck out
the mercury.
The moisture. And then also it comes in a prepackaged capsule.
Right. So I said, well, listen, I said, you really need to eat, you know, at least one Brazil nut every single day for the rest of your life if you're going to work with amalgam because – selenium found in Brazil nuts attaches to the mercury and methylates it so that the liver can carry it out. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, and then we got into the whole discussion about, you know, how do you know that and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So he said, I'm going to do it. He goes, I'm going to buy Brazil nuts and I'm going to start eating them every single day to protect myself.
What I found interesting that selenium is used for diseases of the heart and the blood vessels, including stroke and hardening of the arteries. It's also used for preventing various cancers, including cancer of the prostate, stomach, lung, and skin.
Right.
And the skin.
It's really critical for thyroid health. The thyroid produces T4.
Uh-huh.
Right? But T4 has minimal activity. It has activity, but it's T3 that has all the real activity that thyroid hormone produces. Well, T4 is converted to T3. By way of something called the selenoenzyme cascade, hence the word selenium. The selenoenzyme cascade depends on tyrosine, selenium, and iodine in order to convert T4 to T3.
Right.
So if you don't have enough selenium in your body, your thyroid hormone levels could look good, but it won't have the effect that you need because T4 is converted to T3 in the tissue when there's enough selenium in the body.
Do you know how much selenium is in one Brazil nut?
It's estimated, depending on the size of the Brazil nut, between 500 and 750 micrograms.
Really?
Yes.
So
you really just need to eat one Brazil nut a day.
I read that the upper limit of tolerance for an adult is 400 micrograms.
And I don't know where they got that because almonds have selenium. All nuts have selenium.
Right.
But Brazil nuts are like the king of selenium.
Right. Okay.
And hell, you've seen me eat a whole bag of macadamia nuts. I mean, I'm sure there was more than 500 micrograms of selenium in that whole bag.
You need to be careful with those macadamia nuts.
I know. I do. Right.
They have 22 grams of fat in a
serving,
a quarter of a cup, wasn't it?
I know. It was, and I ate a whole bag the other day, like in an hour.
Uh huh.
And that had to be like 3,000 calories right there just by itself and just exclusively fat.
But so, they taste good.
Oh,
they're kind of buttery, aren't they?
Oh, my God. You know what? That is my downfall. Macadamia nuts. I'm going to just eat three, and then I just can't stop eating them.
Hmm.
Oh, terrible. But, yes, I don't believe that upper limit thing at all.
So one Brazil nut a day is what we should do, right?
Yes. And, you know, you can eat more. Don't get me wrong. If you like them, eat more. But the other thing is that the RDA for selenium, which is the government's recommendation that you should get, is like 60 micrograms or 20 micrograms, something ridiculously low.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously bump it up. Anytime the government tells you to do something, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Anyway, let's see what else. Oh, something that I learned from you because you're working on your nutritional certification right now.
Yes.
I've been taking BCAAs forever and ever.
Right.
Never realized. I just assumed taking BCAAs by themselves is all you need to do because, hey, they're BCAAs. They go right from the lining of the stomach into the bloodstream, right?
Right.
But then you told me that in order to have them be effective and more bioavailable, you have to take them with cofactors.
With the cofactors.
And what are the cofactors?
Glucosamine, glutamine, and vitamin B6.
So you should take your BCAAs with glucosamine, glutamine, and vitamin B6 in order to have them be more effective. And
if you want them to be more effective, that's the ultimate, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I started taking my glucosamine with my BCAAs, and I now put a scoop of glutamine in with them. And I take a B100 capsule in the morning, so I'm hoping that's enough.
You know, another thing that I read that I found interesting was that in my nutritional studies, they told us to split the dosage over two servings per day.
The what? The BCAAs?
The BCAAs.
I think you can do it even more than that. I think pre-workout and during workouts, it's really good.
And they said to take it 30 to 60 minutes before exercise and then directly after exercise as well.
Yeah.
And then if you're not training, to take it along with your meals on the days that you don't train.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's interesting.
I found that very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think taking BCAAs in between meals is effective. If you're eating every 3 hours at the 1.5 hour point to take your BCAAs to exert that, keep that anabolic effect, so to speak, going. But people like Dr. Lane Norton say that having that dip of amino acids is more important because it causes something. It's called the protein pulse. So in other words, if you don't have that dip, if you just have like amino acids always in your blood, your muscles kind of get used to it, and it doesn't have the effect that you want. So it's good to have that dip in between meals. So I don't know. The jury is out on that. I'm not smart enough to speak on that.
Dip. Speaking of dip, I'm sure there's going to be lots of dip at Super Bowl parties too.
Oh, so are we going to a Super Bowl party?
I'm not sure since I'm on a diet.
Well, but actually, yes, you get a cheat meal this week.
I get one cheat meal this weekend.
So you have to decide whether you want to do it at a Super Bowl party or you want to go out to dinner, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. We actually have to take a break. Isn't that amazing?
Already.
Time goes so fast.
It does.
But we have lots of really good stories to talk about today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
So, do you ever skip breakfast?
When I'm fasting, if I train fasted in the morning, which I've been doing periodically, yeah, absolutely.
Dominique Lest posted this on my Facebook.
Right.
It says, what's healthier, skipping breakfast or grabbing a donut? What would you say?
Absolutely skipping breakfast. If I left the house and didn't prepare, forgot to eat breakfast, was on the run, and my choice was I was going past a Krispy Kreme, and I thought, oh, you know what? Instead of waiting to eat later, I'm going to go run and get a Krispy Kreme donut. Shoot me in the head. Because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Okay. So here's what it says, and it's from Parade Magazine.
Yeah. Which is a women's magazine.
No one recommends starting every day with a donut, but it's better to eat a sugary snack than to fast until lunch, says dietitian Karen Ansell, spokesperson for the American Dietetic Association.
Well, she's an idiot. Karen Ansell, you're an idiot. But you're an example of the idiocy that is promoted by the orthodox dietitians today.
A donut provides enough glucose to switch your body into gear at least for an hour or two before your blood sugar plummets again.
And then let me tell you why she's wrong. I want to pick this apart. The glucose produced will cause a major insulin spike that will push blood sugar down so rapidly that that person will then have a boomerang effect of a hypoglycemic episode that will drive them to crave more sugary carbs. Stupid move. Shame on you. Fasting is a healthy thing periodically.
Mm-hmm. It says, for longer lasting energy, choose a piece of fiber-rich fruit instead.
Oh, not an egg.
No, a piece of fruit.
Fruit. So more sugar.
By itself, obviously.
More sugar. Mm-hmm. Shame. You know what? But the reason that there is half the population is going to be obese is because of this kind of misinformation that is promoted by the organization that is supposed to be telling people how to eat healthy. Do you know what their website is?
Parade.
No, the American Dietetic Association, eatright.com.
You're kidding me.
Eat Right. Just by virtue of the name of the URL, they're promoting this notion that they're telling people how to eat right. That's not the right way to eat. Shame on you. Oh, my God. I just want to explode. It's disgusting. So eat a donut instead of fasting until you get something healthy to eat.
That's crazy.
Well, no, I bet you she's fat. I'll bet money on it. She's skinny fat at the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So
okay. Speaking of breakfast, how about all the news about the fungicide in orange juice?
Yeah, this is an example of the FDA at its finest.
Michael Taylor was on television this morning talking about this.
Right.
Did you see him?
Yeah. Apparently, orange juice that was imported from Brazil, which we don't check, you know.
It's like already in the grocery stores in bottled orange juice.
Well, not only that, not only is it in the grocery stores in bottled orange juice, but there's 6 million gallon tanks of it in Florida right now, filled to the top. And they found out that there is an illegal fungicide in it. Illegal meaning that it has been banned, its use has been banned
in the U.S.
In the U.S. What is it called? Carbendazim?
Carbendazim. C-A-R-B-E-N-D-A-Z-I-M.
Yeah, okay. So there's an E at the end of it?
M.
Oh, okay. So carbendazim has been banned in the United States. It's been banned where else? Someplace
Australia.
Else. Australia. I think the U.K. It's not. You're not supposed to be using it. Well, all of this orange juice makes it into the United States before anybody discovers that it is tainted with this fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor goes in his divine wisdom, you know, we don't want to upset people and freak them out, you know. So what we've decided to do is we're just going to leave it alone. The stuff that's out there on the shelf, we're not going to recall it. And those six, you know, billion-gallon tanks in Florida, the exact words he said were, we're just going to let it wash through.
Wash through our bodies?
Yeah. So in other words, the FDA wants us to purify the orange juice using our livers on an individual basis.
Well, I have an article right here that says the FDA says the fungicide is far below dangerous levels. The juice is safe to drink.
Yes. There's the FDA in its divine wisdom. This is the same FDA that gave you Vioxx, folks. Everything they say, you should really question. I mean, the only time Taylor is not lying is when his lips aren't moving. Otherwise, he's lying. That's it.
Oh. I wonder if they're drinking it.
Yeah, well, give it to your grandkids. You know what? That's a great idea. Here's what they should do. The company that is holding all this in vats should package it up, send it to the FDA, and let the FDA give it to their children, their grandchildren, and their family members, since they feel that it's an acceptable level of this fungicide. You drink it.
The FDA said that 9 of the 14 samples taken from large holding tanks of juice in Florida tested positive up to 36 parts per billion.
Right.
The EPA has said studies show no risk of consuming the chemical at up to 80 parts per billion.
Yeah. You know what? Why should we consume it at all? Why? I'm telling you right now, first of all, it didn't matter to me because I don't drink orange juice.
I don't drink orange juice either.
I don't drink orange
juice. But what
juice.
I don't understand, it's banned in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So how did it get in the first place?
Oh, because the FDA has their head up their ass. They're so busy chasing after farmers for selling raw milk that they're ignoring the fact that the stuff that comes into the country is tainted.
Yes.
And why are we even buying stuff from Brazil? Do you mean to tell me we don't have enough oranges here in the United States?
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. We export our orange juice someplace else probably and then buy it from Brazil. Okay, so please don't drink orange juice. And if you know anybody who's drinking orange juice, tell them not to drink it, at least for the rest of the year until it, quote-unquote, washes through the tanks.
Just make your own.
Yeah,
just
there you
buy
go.
A juicer and make your own.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yes, yes. I see you have red on. Why do you have red on?
Well, today is February the 3rd, and it's in honor of Women and Heart Disease.
Oh, okay.
You don't have a red on.
Oh, I'm not a woman. I'm not worried about women and heart disease. No,
you're not?
No, of course I am. So what is the deal with women and heart disease?
Well, more than 42 million women are currently living with some form of heart disease, and more than 8 million women have had a history of heart attack and some kind of or angina.
Yeah, but you know what? Those are the women who are not on natural HRT. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because hormone replacement therapy using the bioidentical hormones will keep women from developing heart disease. And the longer they wait to get on, the less of an effect it has on the heart. So if you don't get on right away, like as soon as you're going perimenopausal, menopausal, then you might as well not even worry about it.
It says here that women who have diabetes also are 2.5 times more likely to have a heart attack.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And, of course, women who smoke 2 to 3 times have an increased risk of 2 to 3 times.
Yeah, cigarette. I still can't believe people smoke. I saw some girl. I was going this morning to get blood work done. I was driving to the lab, and I look over, and there's this girl sitting in her car, and she's got a cigarette in her left hand and her hand up on the armrest of the door. And, you know, she's just styling. And she's got the cigarette there. She's got the shades on, and she's singing to this song. Her head is bobbing there. And I'm watching, and I'm thinking to myself, you're kidding, right? I mean, you think you're really cool, and then you got like this It looks like a dog turd while it's burning. It's like you have this turd in your hand and you think you're really cool. You're kidding, right? I just can't even believe people still smoke.
What about when we were at the store the other day and a man walked past and he smelled so bad of cigarette smoke?
I said to you, oh my God, this is walking third hand smoke.
Yes. I don't get that at all. But anyway, so if you don't have red on today, go home and put red on.
Okay. What if you can't go home?
Well,
get a red magic marker and color your forehead. And walk around the office.
Put a heart on your forehead.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of like Ash Wednesday, but it's a heart.
Speaking of red and colors, is Susan G. Komen the pink or the red bow, the ribbon?
I think Susan G. Komen is going to be black after all the stuff
yes.
in the news.
Yeah, they're going to have a black bandana on instead of the pink ribbon. Susan G. Komen apparently pulled their funding from Planned Parenthood. Keep in mind that their funding didn't go for abortions. Their funding went for mammograms, something that they're all about, right? They're against breast cancer.
Yes.
So they pulled a $680,000 funding to Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know why they did it.
Because of abortion.
Sure, because Planned Parenthood is a lightning rod. The those who are pro-life, as they call it, hate Planned Parenthood because they are facilitating abortions.
Uh-huh.
But that's not a reason to pull the mammogram funding.
No.
Shame on Susan G. Komen for having a position in this. You should have been neutral like Switzerland.
Do you know how many lives are going to be affected by that?
Sure. Well, not many, apparently.
Not many. Guess what?
Yeah.
They've gotten more donations since all the news came out about this.
Yes. The Susan G. Komen pulled $680,000 funding this year from Planned Parenthood. Well, in return, angry supporters donated a total of $1 million to Planned Parenthood so far as a result.
6,000 people donated $400,000. And then an additional Dallas Foundation donated $250,000. And then the mayor of New York donated $250,000 of his own money.
Yeah. And
Isn't that awesome? And
Charlie Sheen donated $250,000, he said, because Planned Parenthood helped him out numerous times throughout his life by
he did not
getting rid of unwanted pregnancies from girls that he bumped uglies with.
I wouldn't be surprised of that, but no, he didn't donate any money.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
But anyway, so why do you know why they pulled the funds from?
Well, of course that's why. Who's the girl that runs Susan G. Komen?
Nancy Brinker.
Yeah, isn't she? And she's actually Susan G. Komen's sister-in-law or something like that, right?
Yes.
Or sister, right? And she came out and said that they choose, you know, who to fund and who not to fund, and they just decided not to fund them. But we know that's nonsense. It's baloney. Who else did they cut funding from this year?
No one.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from her. "We don't base our decisions on whether one side or the other will be pleased. And there were other factors, including changes in the types of providers Susan G. Komen for the Cure wants to support."
Yeah.
That's...
You know what? What was the first line she said? We don't make decisions based on who or who we're not going to.
We don't base our decisions on whether one side or the other will be pleased.
And you know what? And that makes perfect sense because obviously they collect like so much flipping money, and the money they spend on salaries and everything else within there versus the money that actually trickles down into research.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not happy about who they are. I wouldn't do anything to give money to Susan G. Komen ever.
No,
it's a ripoff. I'd rather go to a hospital and say, "Can I write a $150 check to you guys? Do you have like a fund where you could put it aside for in case a woman comes in here and needs some help? Where, you know, she's got take my $150 and help pay her costs for, you know, treating her breast cancer. She doesn't have insurance." I'd rather do something like that than give Susan G. Komen the money, give her $150, and $2 goes to breast cancer, and the rest of it goes to running the flipping company.
I know. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's made herself a multimillionaire running this organization. Oh, yeah, she's doing everybody a big favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Planned Parenthood will find a way to get her on without you. And we know your true colors now. Actually, on this show, we've always known their true colors, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
All right, we have to take a commercial break.
Again?
Yes,
already?
I know. What? We have to pay bills. I know, you know, a couple. We have like four really bad comments on
iTunes.
I put one of them up on Facebook yesterday, which clearly it was Bill Gates. He's going by the screen name truth in a can.
Or a shill for Bill Gates.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, but one of the other ones said, I love this show. The information is great, but just way too many commercials.
Well, let me ask you this. Aren't there commercials on television?
Yeah.
Aren't there commercials on NPR?
Well, NPR kind of goes, this show has been brought to you by, you know, the Pew Foundation.
But there's commercials on other radio stations.
Right.
So how are we different?
Well, I guess the traditional podcast genre, they don't have commercials. And I've been listening to podcasts lately because of this.
Right.
You know, most podcasts don't have a commercial. But what they do have is they have a host who is positioned as a guru or an expert.
Right.
Who is selling books and supplements.
Oh.
So he uses the show as a platform to
sell
promote himself. And then people buy his books and supplements.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you should write a book and start selling supplements.
No, because I'm not a guru. I've never claimed to be a guru. I'm a journalist. I interview people and I get their information, just like 60 Minutes, and they have commercials.
Right.
Right? Maury Safer is not saying, I just did a great interview, now buy my book. That's what these other people that these in my humble opinion, those podcasts are just affronts. So those people can promote themselves. I'm not promoting myself.
Hmm.
So to those couple people who put up there that there's way too many commercials, I'm sorry. But
we got to go to commercial.
I got to go to commercial now. Okay. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw. The delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
I like this mashup. Let it play for a second. This is the Killers versus Stevie Wonder. There is superstition. See that guy who thought he sang like Stevie Wonder on
Idol
last night?
Idol.
Yeah. That was hilarious, wasn't it?
Yes.
He was like, no, let me just sing another song.
Can you guys believe Carl is watching American Idol?
I actually like it. I think it's
entertaining.
Well, it's not only entertaining, but it shows you, to me, American Idol speaks to the nature of the consciousness in this country today. Everybody needs some hope to hang on to. Like, it's got to get better than this. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
A lot of the stories.
Yeah, they would show, if I hear one more girl come in there and say, I always wanted to sing, but my man held me back. It's like, oh, give me a flipping break. Your man held you back. How did he hold you back? While he was working 5 days a week and paying the bills, huh? Come on, stop it, for crying out loud. Stop blaming your man for not doing the things you should have done a long time ago.
Okay, time to change the subject.
Yes, of course.
Did you read the article about the 17-year-old who has only eaten chicken McNuggets since the age of 2?
Yeah, and see, okay, talk about it, because I did read it. I find it hard to believe.
She's 17 years old, and her parents had to take her to the hospital after passing out due to complications to her hazardous diet.
Okay, so since she's 2 years old, first of all, there's so many parts of this story that I find hard to believe. First of all, at 2 years old, her mother started buying her chicken nuggets,
mm-hmm.
okay, and feeding her only chicken nuggets at every meal until she was old enough to start feeding herself, obviously.
I think you need to send her that blog post that you posted with the ingredients that are in chicken McNuggets. Do you remember the pink goo?
Yeah.
That was just disgusting.
The
doctors told her that under no uncertain terms that she will die if she carries on eating only chicken McNuggets. And she said that she sometimes eats French fries.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad then. No, she's okay. She's good. She just needs to switch to eating only French fries and the occasional chicken McNugget, and the problem is solved.
She shares her French fries with her boyfriend, she said, and she also enjoys nuggets from Kentucky Fried Chicken and the supermarket besides chicken nuggets from McDonald's.
That's disgusting. If this is true, if in fact this girl eats nothing else, like she doesn't have a bowl of cereal in the morning.
It
and
says
then
toast and nuggets and fries, and that's it.
Oh, my God. I mean, you talk about pro-inflammation.
It says she's never tasted fruits and vegetables.
But how did it, okay. How did her parents let her go? Like, that's what I'm saying. So at 2 years old, you're not feeding yourself. You're not going to the refrigerator and making a bologna sandwich. At 2 years old, your mother and your father are feeding you. So that means from two, at what age do kids start really feeding themselves? Seven, eight.
I was going to say six.
Yeah, six, seven, eight. They'll go and they'll get something, right? Okay, but they still can't cook for themselves. Right. You don't start cooking for yourself until you're like 11, 12, 13, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
So that means from 2 years old until, let's say, 11, her parents fed her chicken nuggets all the time.
Right.
So why isn't anybody talking about these idiots?
I know. It said that she was injected with much-needed vitamins and that she suffered from anemia and inflamed veins on her tongue.
Yeah, inflammation.
Due to her obsessive diet on her tongue.
Yeah, that means, but imagine the inflammation that's in the rest of her body.
Oh, I'm sure.
That grease that they use to make chicken McNuggets is like, oh, it's like once, it's actually probably motor oil that they just clean and then they sell it to McDonald's.
Well, and they keep reusing the same oil over and over and over again.
Oh, it's disgusting. Shame on that
girl.
Shame on her parents, too.
There's a KFC in the parking lot of the gym, and you can smell the disgusting smell coming out of there.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, okay, so. So shame on you, the parents, and shame on the little girl. And
you want to talk about pudding?
Well, yes, we have to talk about pudding. But before we talk about pudding, we have to talk about should we talk about aspartame first and then explain? Okay, so here's what we did. So Elisa is getting ready. She's on her diet for her bikini competition. And so we caved in and we thought, okay, a little artificial sweetener isn't a bad thing. And so we bought some sugar-free pudding.
It is a bad thing, though.
Well, here's the problem. I thought it was sucralose that was in it, right?
Right.
So we make this pudding the first day, and we make vanilla pudding, 4 scoops of protein powder and a packet of vanilla pudding, 1 1/4 cups of water, and it makes the most delicious pudding with 25 grams of protein per serving. We each eat a glass one night after dinner. The next morning, we both complain, and we go, I never wake up with headaches. I've got a terrible headache this morning, right?
Right.
Okay. So the next night, we have the other 2 servings with our dinner. The next morning, we wake up. I tell you, I woke up in the middle of the night. I had a headache. I never have headaches, and now I have them in the middle of the night. I don't know what's going on. Meanwhile, I don't put the 2 and 2 together yet.
Right.
Because I'm thinking it's sucralose, right? So then we make 4 more servings last night, and while we're working on Casual Friday, Elise is reading this story about aspartame, and she says to me, are you sure there's sucralose in that sugar-free pudding? And I go, I'm pretty sure. So I go and I look, and it's aspartame, right?
Right.
So what do? Right after we make the pudding, we throw it away. Because now we realize where our headaches are coming from, and we don't want aspartame. Like, aspartame, absolutely not. Sucralose, okay, we could have lived with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get on to the story about aspartame and why this is all even relevant, okay?
Okay.
So you're doing this research on aspartame, right?
Right.
And we find out that, once again, you know, the government being in our pantry, no one was ever supposed to promote aspartame. Aspartame had been shot down, what, two other times?
Mm-hmm.
As being usable for food fed to humans?
Mm-hmm.
But who is the politician that...
It was Donald Rumsfeld that worked for that Searle company. That Searle is the company that originally produced aspartame.
Right.
And he was their CEO, I think.
Right, but it wasn't just him. I don't want to call him Donald Rumsfeld. I want to call
Ronald
him Ronald
Dumsfeld.
It was Ronald Dumsfeld. While he was the CEO of the company producing aspartame, but there was another political figure that was assigned to put together a committee to determine whether or not aspartame should be approved for human consumption.
Right.
And his committee voted no. So instead of him taking his committee that he assembled word for it, he then put together another committee.
No, he hired one more person because it was a 3-2 vote. He hired another person to come onto the committee.
But they still voted it down.
And then he voted himself.
Right. They still voted it down. So then he went, oh, the hell with all of you. I'm approving it.
It was Arthur Hayes Hall. He was working under Ronald Reagan's. He was the FDA commissioner under Ronald Reagan.
So here, this goes to truth in a can out there. If you're listening, okay, I have words for you, but I can't say them because this is not an explicit show. This is the FDA that you're telling me that I promote non-FDA regulated supplements on this show. This is the same FDA, okay, that gave us aspartame, which is poison. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But anyway, so they passed it, and that was in 1981. But there's still all kinds of research that shows how bad it is.
Yeah, it turns into wood alcohol in your blood.
Yes.
It causes perforations in the brain.
I mean, it causes nausea. It causes headaches. In large doses, it can actually cause, what's that word? Not hysteria, but when you're confused. What's the word?
Alzheimer's? Is that what? You're confused.
That's permanent confusion. But anyway, it's terrible stuff. No one should be using it.
Right.
Well, what do you got to say? Nothing else? That's it? That's the whole story? Okay. So there you go. FDA and Donald Rumsfeld, or as we like to call him on the show, Ronald Dumsfeld. Thank you for aspartame.
Yeah.
I won't ever
eat aspartame again.
I talked yesterday about the whole thing that they want. Some doctors have come forth and said sugar is worse than alcohol. Since alcohol is taxed, sugar should be taxed. What do you think about that?
Well, my question to you is, how are they going to tax sugar when it's in everything?
Well, they're talking about refined sugar.
High fructose corn syrup?
Yes, high fructose corn syrup or like added sugar. So in other words, if not sugar that's in fruit and in vegetables and in naturally occurring sugar, but the sugar that's added.
But there's high fructose corn syrup in everything.
Well, that's added. It's not there. God didn't put it there.
Are they going to tax that jar of peanut butter, Jif, that has high fructose corn syrup in it?
Yes, yes. And they're going to tax anything where one of the ingredients is a refined form of sugar.
But how can they do that?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's...
They would tax the sugar at the manufacturing level.
Okay.
So in other words, like Jif, right?
Right.
When they buy that big pallet of high fructose corn syrup to stir into their peanut butter,
uh-huh.
they would pay more for it because there would be a tax on it. But you think that Jif is going to eat the tax?
No, they're going to pass it on to
sure.
the consumer.
So ultimately, the people pay for it. But I'm not in agreement with it. What do you think about it? You think it's a good idea?
Well, do you think that it would make people stop eating so much sugar?
No. So let's go down the list. Okay, go ahead.
Do you think it would make people aware of how much sugar is in everything?
No, and here's why. Let me speak to that. If you look at the tax on tobacco, I had a doctor on my show, 4 or 5 months ago, and we talked about the fact that the tax that was levied on tobacco is supposed to be used. It's supposed to be distributed to each individual state, and it's supposed to be used so those states can have anti-tobacco movements. They can have commercials, and they can have rallies, and they have people walking into schools and telling kids don't smoke. But what we found out is local governments take those tax dollars, but they don't spend them on that. They spend them mm-hmm. to pave the roads and the other shortfalls that they have.
Right.
So to answer your question, no, it's not going to have any impact on teaching people about the perils of sugar, because we already see what governments do with these kind of tax dollars. They don't use them for what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what else could it do? Other than cost us more money and give the government more of our money. That's all it's going to do.
I agree with you. I agree.
Taxing sugar is not going to get people to stop eating sugar and not going to stop the damages that sugar does to people. It's just going to transfer more money from us to the government. That's mm-hmm. all it's going to do. And the government's going to take that money and they're going to do what they want to do with it. So I'm not for a tax on
and
sugar.
What if they took the money and used it on health care?
They won't. Why don't they take some of the money for the tobacco tax and help and give it to the insurance companies based on the states with the highest tobacco smokers so that our premiums are lower?
Right.
They don't. No. Once a government gets a tax, look, have you ever in your life, and I happen to remember this, when they built the Verrazano Bridge in New York connecting New York Island to Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
They built that bridge and they said, we're going to put a toll booth on it, but we're only going to leave the toll there until the bridge is paid for.
Well, the toll is still there.
It's still there. Because you know why? The bridge is never paid for. Oh, yeah, well, we paid for the construction of the bridge, but now we got to pay for the paving and the repair of the bridge. Well, now we got to pay for this. And the toll, once a government gets a tax in place, they don't give it back. They don't go, oh, you know what? We're going to get rid of that tax. We're going to appeal it, repeal it. You don't have to pay it anymore. No. If they're getting that money from you, they're not going to stop taking it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am totally opposed to a sugar tax.
Well, I agree with you on this one.
All right, we actually have gone a little long. We have to take a break. When we come back, there's something I wanted to talk about, and that was something that you pointed out to me in Dr. Andrew's blog.
Okay.
About high-intensity cardio. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQ QQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw: the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 sustained delivery melatonin patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Dr. Andrew, who is a frequent guest on this show, one of his recent blog posts, if you've never read his blog, you're really missing out. It is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. Now, I'm familiar with high-intensity cardio for quite some time, but you were kind of enlightened by this, weren't you?
Well, I was just asking you questions about it because I was reading his article, and I didn't realize that it had the HIT name to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sprinting is basically a form of high-intensity training. Is that right?
Yeah, but when they talk about high-intensity training, they talk about a very, very concentrated period of time, like 15 minutes. Usually back in the day when high-intensity training on cardio was first purported, Everybody was doing it on recumbent bikes. You know what a recumbent bike is, mm-hmm. where the pedals are out in front of you?
Right. It's like you're sitting down with your legs stretched out.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's virtually impossible to run as fast as you need to run for as long as you need to run to do a HIIT type cardio session. So back then it was recumbent bicycles that people were doing it on.
Does it have a certain amount of time that you need to
do? It's usually 15 to 20 minutes, and it's all out. It's all out for 15 to 20 minutes. It's like you got to get your heart rate up maximum, and you got to stay there for 15 minutes at a time. And then you're done. You just do 15 minutes, and you're done. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else to it. Now, obviously, there's another alternative to this, and that is interval training, which if somebody isn't ready for HIIT, they can do interval training and kind of get themselves into the groove where you blast off for 30 seconds and you walk for a few minutes.
And that's kind of what I've been doing.
And actually, Dr. Paul Arciero, who was on my show a while back from State University of New York, who did this study on obese people where they gave them 20-gram scoops of protein a day, or three. They made them eat 60 grams of protein, whey protein, across the day by giving them 20-gram scoops, and made these seriously obese people do interval training, where they ran as fast as they could for 30 seconds, whatever that was, and then they walked until their heart rate stabilized and they felt recovered, and they ran again. They did this over and over again. They lost so much more body fat than the people in the other group, or the control group. The other group was 60 grams of protein and just moderate to slow state an hour a day of cardio.
Mm-hmm.
The interval group was only doing intervals for 20 minutes, I believe, 15 to 20 minutes. That's all it was.
And they lost more body fat?
Yes, and the control group lost nothing. The control group didn't exercise at all, or they exercised but didn't get the protein. I forget what it was. But the bottom line was the interval training combined with the increase in protein intake caused them to lose a ridiculous amount of fat. And the research was profound. So that's another form of high-intensity cardio if you're blasting off like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
like a sprinter would do.
Yeah, but if you want to read more about it, go to Dr. Andro's website. It's Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. High-intensity training has been around for a long time. It's definitely worth looking into because it does have an anabolic effect as well.
Uh-huh.
It seems to help maintain, if not build muscle. It's not catabolic like it was once thought. So anyway, let's talk about our favorite company.
What would Casual Friday be if we didn't talk about Monsanto?
Yeah. Let's talk about Monsanto.
There's a website here that I have pulled up. It's ChinaForum.com.
Okay.
And it says that there's going to soon be a whistleblower who worked for Monsanto will be releasing documents detailing how Monsanto plans to kill off the bee colonies. And if you remember, we talked about Monsanto bought that company
6 months ago.
It was in September. September 29th is the article that I pulled up.
Right.
Monsanto bought Biologics.
Right.
And they did it because they want to figure out. They said they bought the company because they wanted to figure out what's killing off the bee colonies.
Yeah, the colony collapse disorder, they're calling it.
Right. Well, according to this whistleblower, they said that Monsanto wants to kill off the bees so that they can have their own bee, super bee.
So just the same thing that they're doing with seeds and crops, they want to do with bees.
Yes.
They're going to come up with a genetically engineered version of a super bee. So this is interesting. You create the problem. Right?
Right.
Some of their pesticides have been linked to colony collapse disorder.
Mm-hmm.
They never answered that question. They go out and they do something benevolent. They buy Biologic. Well, we're gonna invest our money. We're going to figure out what the problem is.
Right.
But in the meantime, the collapse of the colonies continues. Right? So Monsanto's going to come to the rescue. You know what? We're going to fix this problem. We're going to create
a super bee. Uh-huh.
I mean, it sounds pretty far-fetched, to be honest with you. It sounds, it also sounds a little sci-fi to me, but you know what? Who would have thought that they were going to be cloning animals and genetically engineering food? So, I mean, we know that they're genetically engineering salmon.
Uh-huh.
So why not bees? And then Monsanto will own the bees. In order for bee charmers to make honey, they'll have to buy the bees. And then Monsanto will own the honey industry.
Monsanto will own the world between Bill Gates and Monsanto. Oh, wait a minute. Bill Gates is Monsanto.
No, you know what? I haven't done the research yet to find out if it's true, but Dr. Peter Rouse posted on my Facebook that Bill Gates owns 500,000 shares in Monsanto. And I really want to look into that, because if that is true, then he has no... He has no right speaking out on the benefits of GMO.
No.
Because
he has an interest in it.
That's right. That would be like a scientist doing a study and finding positive results for a product that he sells.
Right.
So, no. You know what? If you really do own Monsanto stock, Bill, you need to shut up.
So did you know that there are farmers that are trying to sue Monsanto?
When you say trying, are they? Did they file a suit? Or
I'm sorry. Yes, they filed a suit.
So they're suing Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I like that. Let's get India involved too.
The first phase of the case began on January 31st. More than 50 farmers and plaintiffs went to Manhattan to listen to verbal debates surrounding Monsanto's attempts to dismiss the lawsuit. Of course they're going to try and dismiss it.
And it's basically about GMO corn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly this pervasive, insidious effect of GMO corn we've talked about for so long, and we've heard stories about farmers who plant fields of non-GMO corn.
Right.
And his neighbor plants GMO corn. And through cross-pollination, he ends up with GMO corn.
So then Monsanto sues the farmer.
The Monsanto sends their inspectors out. They go, hey, you're not licensed to grow GMO corn. And the farmer goes, I'm not growing GMO corn. They go, yes, you are. Look here. And the farmer can't say to them, hey, you poisoned my crop. Instead, Monsanto goes, hey, you're growing this without a license fee. We're suing you.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it
is. It says between 1997 and 2010, Monsanto actually filed 144 lawsuits against American farmers. And in addition, another 700 were settled out of court for unknown amounts.
Farmers are shut down. They got to rip their crops up. The losses are unbelievable. This is why they were committing suicide.
It says that's the same kind of practice that Monsanto operates outside of the U.S., driving thousands of poor farmers to suicide by ruining their family farming practices. That was in India.
You know, I just can't believe it. I don't care who the next president is. I don't care who the president is now. But you know what? It's time to stop this craziness. Monsanto is run amok. They're run amok. You know, we should boycott anything and everything that Monsanto touches and has anything to do with.
But if you remember, Tom Vilsack says, we will eat what the government tells us to eat.
Yeah. Tom Vilsack. I have another name for him.
What is it?
It starts with the word ball, and then he keeps the second part of his name.
Okay, moving on.
So I hope they are successful, and so we need to get Monsanto. We need to knock Monsanto down somehow. This is terrible.
How do you knock down something that big?
Well, you know what? People need lobbyists the way these big organizations need lobbyists. We talked about it on this show, and I have put some effort into it. I just hope that there's enough people in our small community that will spread the word to their friends and family to get them to join. Because if we had a lobbyist group that was lobbying on our behalf, we could actually be stronger than Monsanto. I looked into the amount of money that Monsanto invests in different areas of agriculture lobbying. It's not as much as I thought. It wouldn't take a lot of money to really get a lobbyist group up there and do the right thing for the people.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't. So, but anyway, that's another story. Okay, so what are we talking about now, Lisa?
Well, we have lots of listener questions. You want to move on to that?
You want to do that, or did we talk? Oh, wait, I want to mention something about the paleo T-shirt. I was so surprised. Okay, so you remember a long time ago, I did this whole thing about this paleo T-shirt, eat a vegan, right?
Yes.
And a lot of people, and I asked people to vote, would they wear it or would they not?
And I voted no.
Right, and a lot of people, what I've discovered is either I'm really wrong about what I'm about to say, or the vocal majority, the vocal minority posted and said, no, I wouldn't wear it. Because, so I went over the other day and I thought, you know, we have to change this poll. This poll's been here for way too long. The poll says, would you wear the SHR Paleo t-shirt?
Right.
Now, keep in mind that there's a blog post that points to this poll, but the poll also appears on the homepage, which means you can get to the poll without reading the blog post. So I thought, well, let me just check and see. So I checked the results, and today it's up again. 1,010 people, somewhat, it was 1,005 a little while ago. Five people just voted while we were on the air. 1,010 people voted yes, they would wear the Eat a Vegan t-shirt.
Can somebody vote more than once?
I don't know.
Hmm.
No, because the way it was set up, they can only vote once in a year.
In a year,
it was set up as a year. Yeah, once a year. In a given poll. In a given poll. Okay?
Right.
And 36 people voted no. Well, I think the 36 people who voted no were the people who posted in the blog. And the 1,010 people who voted yes are not, they're not, either they're not, they don't know what they're voting for. They haven't seen the shirt.
Uh-huh.
Or they've seen the shirt and they like it. So I'm confused now. I don't know if I should go make the shirt and start selling it or you know, just forget about it. But I'm just, like I said, I'm just confused. I don't know what to make of it.
That's nothing new and different.
Yes, I'm confused quite often.
Confused and dazed.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a couple comments I want to read from some listeners, and
okay.
Then we have some questions.
Okay.
Luke McMurray sent a message to Carl that says, I just wanted to say thank you. Your show, knowledge, and passion have changed my life for the better. You have awoken a passion in me I didn't know existed, and I will be starting my degree in nutritional medicine next week. Though I am sure I will come across the challenges of nutritional idiocy, I will not falter from what I have learned from you. I will endeavor to respectfully enlighten my teachers. Keep up the good work, and remember, you are changing lives.
Yeah, that's
thank
touching. I just, you know, when I hear people say that, I just think, are you sure you're talking about me and this show?
It's just why like, would you say that?
Because I don't take myself that seriously. I don't. I mean, it's like that's why I guess I'll never be one of those guys who'll write a book and go, you know, this podcast. And at the end of this podcast, if you like what I'm saying, buy my book. It's like I'm just like a talking head. That's all I am. I interview intelligent people, so people think I'm intelligent. You know what I mean?
Did they name that group after you,
Talking Heads? The Talking Heads. That's it. Thank you very much. It's very, very generous of you to say. And by the way, a listener who shall remain named as Mr. X just emailed me and said, Carl, I think the word you were searching for was delirium.
Oh.
Yes, that was the word I couldn't think of. Thank you. Not Alzheimer's disease.
As I pointed out.
But anyway, thank you, Mr. X. Okay.
Okay. So Keith Allen wants to know, are you going to the Arnold this year?
Yes.
Is that it? Yes? No
yes.
More?
Both Elisa and I will be there. Absolutely.
I'm not used to you being so
succinct. Yeah.
Okay.
Take it while you get it.
Matthew Washington wanted to know, should I continue to take dextrose before and after my workouts if I'm trying to lose body fat for a season?
That's a hard question to answer. This is my own personal experience, and that's the only thing I can speak of, okay?
Okay.
When I first got into training for powerlifting and not bodybuilding, it was powerlifting, I really wasn't focusing on becoming lean.
Right.
I used to have 80 grams of dextrose, 40 grams of whey protein, creatine, glutamine, and an R-alpha-lipoic acid capsule immediately after my workout. I never got lean. I was never, but I wasn't dieting either. But it's not like as though I noticed that I was getting leaner. So my guess is that, and I think that this might be something that Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale has spoken to about on my show numerous times. Spiking insulin seems to be the go-to thing amongst the bodybuilding crowd today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has a lot more to do with selling these post-workout drinks than anything else. I think that if you have a pure whey protein product that has a very, very low degree of lactose and fat in it, it hits the liver so quickly that it stimulates gluconeogenesis and you have a glucose spike. You can probably do everything you need to do with 50 to 70 grams of whey protein that as far as replenishing the small amount
of glycogen that you burn during a resistance exercise session. That's another thing that's never spoken about, but there's a lot of research out there that shows that, you know, traditional power lifters doing a 5x5 routine, working out for an hour, they really don't deplete that much muscle glycogen that isn't already being replenished by what's in the battery, which is your liver. So this idea that you need 80 grams of dextrose to spike insulin and get all that glycogen back in your muscles actually may not be true. And that's Dr. DePasquale's opinion as well. He feels that a high protein meal, whether it's a whey protein or a steak or a chicken breast immediately after the workout is all you need, and then continue to eat like that. Don't add fast carbs in at all.
No carbs at all.
No fast carbs.
Okay.
Because he's
complex.
Yeah, he feels, Dr. DePasquale feels that insulin sensitivity is maximized after a workout, so you don't need to spike insulin.
Okay.
The minuscule amount of insulin that's seeping into your body after a workout is going to do everything that it needs to do.
Okay.
So that's the way. I'm not a big proponent of dextrose after workouts. I don't think you really need it.
Okay.
That is unless you're training for 3 hours. Then it's a different story. Okay, sorry.
So that would be for a more power lifter?
Well, no, but for more of an aerobic. I mean, if you're
No dextrose.
Yeah, no dextrose for bodybuilders and power lifters. Yeah,
right.
I don't think so.
Okay. Now, this is just someone that sent a thank you to you. Jed Glass says, I've been reading your post on the Health Information Sharing Network and have really enjoyed your content. Thank you for your efforts.
Yeah, and I told him we were going to give him a shout out, too, so that's good that you did that. Thank you. Thank you, Jed.
Okay. This name I can't really pronounce, so excuse me for butchering it. It's S-E-W-E-R-Y-N, Seryn.
S-E-W-E-R-Y-N.
That's the first name.
Yeah, I guess Seryn.
Seryn. Seryn.
Is it LaVecchia after that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He has a great board. I don't know what you call it. The Las Vegas. He lives in Vegas. The Las Vegas bodybuilding Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Have you ever thought about doing a show about sexual performance? How to improve libido, foods that acts as aphrodisiacs,
right.
How testosterone plays a role in sexual health, also what supplements that might help.
Well, we're actually going to be doing one on food and libido.
Valentine's
thanks
Day.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, Dr. Kayla Daniel is coming back on with her book, The Naughty Nutritionist.
Naughty Nutritionist, which is all about how food affects libido.
That'll be a great show.
Yeah.
So we're doing it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and then we have Dr. Judy coming on the first hour. What to do if you're desperate and dateless on Valentine's Day? It's gonna be a fun show. So we will do that. As far as supplements go, I think we've actually covered that in past shows. What supplements are good for libido? So, but we could do another show like that. But yeah, Valentine's Day definitely is going to be a good one. What else we have?
Okay, Greg Miller says, I heard you talking about a white noise maker for sleeping. What kind do you use? And love the show, Greg.
Thank you.
It was the sound machine that we were talking about that I use, the one that's from Brookstone.
Yours is from Brookstone, but Homedics makes one. There's just so many of them out there.
Yeah.
Usually they have four or five different settings. They have like a country night, which has crickets and country sound and the woodsy sounds. They have the ocean. Sometimes they have the rain. They have rain, right? With a thunderstorm.
And
then they have a white, and they just have white noise.
And then they have rainforest, and the ocean,
white noise. So, you can get it at Brookstone, Sharper Image, or you can look on the Homedics, Homedics website.
Dodge Feeler wanted to know if you had heard of a product called Lif, LIPH.
No.
I haven't either.
What does it do? Does he say what it does?
It's an alkaline mineral supplement. It says an alkaline mineral supplement and beauty product for a healthier you.
Is it drinkable or is it you put it on your skin?
I have no clue.
Because here's my problem with all of those pH adjusting powders that are really expensive. I had a company reach out to me when I was in Phoenix that wanted me to promote their product. And it was guaranteed to increase strength by helping you balance your body's pH.
Right.
All it was potassium, sodium, calcium, and magnesium. That's all it was. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, why would I want to have people buy this really expensive product when they can buy calcium, magnesium, take salt, and buy potassium supplements cheap at their grocery store and just take them? People should be getting minerals. If you have the right amount of mineral intake, your body pH is going to be balanced.
Right.
So, and we just did a show with Bear Walker, who's going to be on again next week,
uh-huh,
about the importance of magnesium. So, you know, just focus on your mineral intake. Make sure you're getting adequate amounts of potassium, magnesium, naturally occurring sodium, not sodium chloride from salt shakers, and calcium from your diet. And your pH will be great. But go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. Dave Robichaud says, his father-in-law was just diagnosed with severe ulcerative colitis.
Colitis, yeah. Right.
What approach do you recommend to avoid colon removal?
I would, first of all, completely eliminate any corn, any grain, and any soy from the diet, number one. Number two, I would immediately go to Google the website VLS number 3, which stands for the LS stands for Living Shield.
Uh-huh.
And if you can get your doctor to prescribe it for him, insurance will cover it. It's one of the strongest probiotic complexes in the world. It comes in 400 and 900 billion coliform packets, and they specifically give it to people who have ileum pouch issues, as well as irritable bowel syndrome and ulcerative colitis. And he would have to take a pouch every evening before bed. I recommend it before bed because that is when the body kind of trims the flora back in the intestines and in the gut. And I would even take it with one Tums, which is a half a dose, to shut down any initial acid that's in the stomach so that the coliforms have a chance to live long enough to make it to where they have to go. But absolutely eliminating corn, grain, soy. I would eliminate all grains and corn and stuff like that from the diet completely, because that's, chances are, that's where this all started.
Mm-hmm. John Parker just said that some of the past shows that he's been listening to just recently, mm-hmm, are some of the best that he's ever heard.
Wow.
He pointed out Bear Walker, T.S. Wiley,
yeah,
Kayla Daniel,
yeah,
and Bear Walker and Kayla Daniel are both coming back on.
But Bear's coming on next week to actually do a lecture.
Really?
It's a lecture that he does all over the world.
Oh, that's interesting.
About how to live to 120 years old and be robust. It's all about the seven deadly sins of the cell.
Oh, that's...
It's going to be a great episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have to take a break.
And we just got a couple more.
Okay, can we take a break and then read them?
Sure.
Okay, so let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and maybe your question is one that we'll be reading here in a moment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Summertime in northern Michigan.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help
reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. Elisa, in her diet mode here, just finished one of her meals and is asking me, what do you think we're going to have for dinner tonight? She's already thinking about dinner. You haven't even had your post-workout meal yet.
I know.
You still have to go to the gym.
No. Well, I was just thinking ahead because I have to.
Yeah, because you're hungry.
No, because I have to pre-plan everything.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, that back in the day when I was eating very strict, I ate a lot of tuna fish out of the can for that reason. Because you don't have to pre-plan it. You just have to make sure that you have it there and you open it and that's it.
Right.
By the way, Mr. X, who is listening to the show from afar, agrees with my assumption.
About the T-shirt?
Yeah, these people are saying yes because they're just thinking it would be an SHR paleo style, you know, paleo T-shirt. They haven't seen the image about eat a vegan. And I tend to agree with them.
I
think that's the case as well. So I'm not going to run out and have them printed. Don't worry, Mr. X.
Okay, I have 2 more questions for you.
Okay.
Put my glasses back on.
There you go.
Okay. Just had a question for you in regard to protein fast. This is from Samir Banga, B-A-N-G-A.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which he knows you've spoken of before on the show. By protein fast, he means abstaining for a few days or whatever it may be from protein.
Right.
And how does this work? And do you know where I can get more information on this?
Yes, you can get an entire chapter in Big Beyond Belief. The Bulgarians were the first ones to start experimenting with protein fasts. The notion was, that if you eat high protein all the time and then you take off for a day, and I think the Bulgarians espoused 24 hours without protein, and you take off for a day completely, that when you then reintroduce protein, like the body always does, it starts to become more efficient with the way it utilizes it. It increases protein synthesis.
Should I do that now that I'm dieting?
Not yet. No.
Well, I mean, like down the road?
Maybe, but this is about building muscle more than anything else. Really,
oh, okay.
You know? The Bulgarians were really the ones who first introduced this notion of taking some time off from protein for 24 hours. And then some people stretch it out to 48 hours because they figure, well, if 24 hours is good, 48 will be even better. I don't know that that's the case. But there is some evidence out there that it does increase the efficiency of what the body does with the protein when it doesn't have any for a little while. But, yeah, I think if you get Big Beyond Belief, if you get a copy of it, there's an entire chapter. I'm trying to get my chapstick. You're looking at what I'm doing.
I was wondering what he was doing. He's over there digging in his pocket. I'm like, what is he doing?
I'm trying to get my chapstick. But anyway, I'm trying to keep my lips soft. It's, you know, they get the wintertime, they always get so chap and dried out. But anyway, and by the way, I don't use real chapstick. I use from the guy who makes our soap.
The guy that came on the show talking about
Earthy Browns.
Earthy Browns.
Yeah, he makes this stuff out of beeswax from the bees that he takes care of. Not the super bees that Monsanto's coming up with.
Well,
yeah, get big beyond belief and look in the chapter in there.
Okay, last one. And this is from Chris Hitchcock. With regard to the ancestral diet that I hear you speak about on the show, I'm having a hard time finding solid information on what someone with a predominantly British Isle ancestry should be eating. I'm already eating paleo style with great benefits. Just wanted to kick it up another notch and was hoping you could point me in the right direction.
That's
Thanks,
hard.
Chris.
That's a hard one to answer. I don't know. I mean, you have to do some research into seeing what 200 to 300 years ago was available in that region of the world as far as food. What was the staples? But you see, the other problem then becomes, like for instance, Ireland. Ireland, you know, they ate a lot of potatoes there. But potatoes is not a good choice for food. I would say to you that you if you stick with the paleo diet, you're probably better off than trying to find out what your ancestors ate, if in fact you come from a country or a region of the world where the ideal types of nutrition were just not available, so these secondary alternative foods like grains and potatoes and so on became the staples. In my humble opinion, the best thing to look at is what did the royals, what did the affluent eat back then? Because they had the money to buy the best. The poor people, like my father used to say, the Italians that were really, really poor used to eat a lot of polenta. You know, polenta is it's cornmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like these Italians, they didn't have the money to buy fish. They didn't have the money to buy beef or lamb, you know, and good vegetables. So they had to survive on polenta. So if I came from a region of Italy, or my ancestors were from a region of Italy, where they ate a lot of polenta, I definitely would not introduce polenta into my diet now. So I think what you need to do is you need to look at what the ideal foods that were available in your country. So if you come from a country where, like Scotland and Ireland, where lamb and sheep was popular, I would say that type of meat is good for you.
Well, and I was just kind of thinking about King Henry VIII because, I've watched so many of the movies about him.
And read about
him. He ate a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, swan. I remember one show where he was eating swan with his hands.
Yeah, right. I mean, they ate a lot of waterfowl. They ate a lot of meats, animal proteins, and so on. That was what the affluent and wealthy could eat because they could afford it. The poor people mm-hmm. had to eat grains and stuff.
Right.
So you don't want to eat the grains and stuff. You want to eat the ideal foods that were available in that region of the world. Absolutely. So that, you know, they call the beef eaters. You know what a beef eater is, right?
Those are the guys with the hats.
Yeah. Well, why do you think they called them beef eaters? Because they fed these guys beef because they wanted them to be strong. They wanted them to be ferocious. They wanted them to be able to handle, you know, protecting the royals. So they fed them beef. Why did they feed them beef? Because they knew beef made people strong. It didn't give people colon cancer back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think just find the ideal foods in that region and go for that. Maybe not what your ancestors were eating because your ancestors may not have had the availability or access to the ideal foods like mine didn't. So there you go.
That's all the questions I have.
That's it. So you've listened to another Casual Friday. I want to thank everybody for listening this week as well. We've got great shows planned next week. Really, really good shows. I'm taking this whole notion of longevity in a totally different direction next week.
You are?
Yes. I'm going to surprise everybody with this one. When you think about longevity, you think about eating right and exercising and supplementing and doing all those things, right?
Yes.
You ever think about accidents?
No.
But let's face it, you could be doing all those things and you could lose your life, right?
Yeah.
And that affects longevity, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to be talking about. It's not accidents. But we're going to be taking longevity in a totally different direction next week. We'll have some fun.
Interesting.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Casual Friday today. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Happy Super Bowl.
Yes, happy Super Bowl. Do not eat the chicken wing cupcake.
Or the 8 million pounds of guacamole.
There you go.